So far this season, we've learned about the massive scale of food waste in Canada, where it comes from, and why it matters. But today, we're shifting our focus to a local solution right here in Alberta. We're talking about a food waste diversion pilot that helps small businesses in Strathcona County and the town of Westlock cut down on the food they send to landfill. The project is led by the Circular Innovation Council and tackles a lesser-known problem: how expensive and complicated it can be for small businesses to compost or divert food waste. Joining me today is Maggie Bain, project manager of the ICI Food Waste Diversion Initiative at the Circular Innovation Council. Maggie's here to walk us through what the problem looks like on the ground, how the pilot worked, and the real impact it's having for both businesses and the environment. Hey, Maggie, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
So most of us think about food waste as what we throw away at home, but your project focuses on small businesses. What kinds of businesses are we talking about, and what kinds of challenges do they face when it comes to food waste and food loss?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So yeah, like you said, I think most people think about household food waste, since that's kind of all what we're living and breathing every day. But you know, the IC&I sector, which is the industrial, commercial, institutional sector in Canada, is everything that's essentially non-residential or non-household food waste. And so a lot of both large and small businesses are food generators and therefore food waste generators or organic material generators. And so, you know, that can be anywhere from further kind of up the food chain, like processors or manufacturers of food products, even like transportation companies and wholesale companies, and then like the distributors kind of delivering the food out to what we're mainly focused on, which is the retail, hospitality, you know, grocery stores, restaurants, institutions, some organizations. So kind of like that level where, you know, the consumer is, I guess, like aware of like, you know, your restaurant down the street or the grocery store you go to. So that's also where a lot of the food waste gets produced, just by default of the nature of the businesses. And, you know, being able to provide them proper food waste reduction and food waste diversion solutions is really, really important because they make up, you know, a huge portion of these materials that end up in landfill, where there is, you know, incredible resource recovery opportunity and food redistribution opportunity within our communities that, you know, can bolster, you know, community wellness as well as like, you know, economic wellness.
So it sounds like, yeah, this project is focusing on kind of the retail side of the businesses. And as it stands currently, most small businesses, whether they're restaurants or cafes or something like that, how are they dealing with food waste, if at all?
It completely depends on the establishment itself. So like you said, restaurants and cafes, actually, especially since COVID, since across Canada, kind of margins have been kept a little tighter when it comes to inventory ordering. We find that they don't have a ton of like back of the house food waste. And by that, I mean what's like produced and cooked in the kitchen, extra ingredients, things like that. A lot of it comes from like plate scrapings, front of house from customers. So that's kind of what they're dealing with. Coffee shops in particular, cafes, produce a lot of coffee grounds, which some places give away for free as like fertilizer to customers. But they are also, you know, coffee grounds can be easily diverted to compost as well. For places like grocery retail, a lot of the larger grocery chains have partnerships with food rescue organizations like Second Harvest. You know, there's the local food banks, and Loop Resources is another common one where they have kind of this outlet to be able to redistribute that surplus food to that is still good, but just not being sold. And so they need to get it off the shelves into something useful quickly. When it comes to the more like food scraps, especially in larger places like grocery retail, it kind of varies by store. So some of the larger places can more readily afford something like curbside organic waste diversion or collections. But some of the smaller guys kind of struggle to be able to meet that cost. And so those are a lot of the ones that are looking for those solutions, not to the fault of really anyone involved in the entire system. It's just the cost of the system and that they are small and that the system is a little bit fragmented. And so, you know, being able to bring that together and kind of like give them some support underneath is really the best way to help them.
Yeah. So it sounds like there are ways for these small businesses, retail facing businesses to tackle food waste, whether that's through giving food to places like Second Harvest, Loop Resource, a lot of these different options that you mentioned. And then, you know, also composting is an option for them. But it sounds like that's kind of expensive, maybe prohibitive for certain businesses. So the Circular Innovation Council launched a pilot program in Strathcona County to help address and fix this issue. So can you walk us through this program and a little bit about how it works?
So back in 2024, around June of 2024, with some funding from our NSERC partners, as well as the Alberta Eco Trust Foundation, we were able to launch a kind of small-scale pilot project in the town of Westlock, as well as Strathcona County, mainly Sherwood Park, with the idea that, you know, there are waste haulers readily available in the area. By that, I mean the people collecting the organic curbside waste, as well as a couple like larger local processors to be able to turn those materials into valuable products like compost and fertilizer and soil amendment. And so, you know, there's a good market locally for it in the area around Edmonton and Strathcona County in Westlock. So essentially, we received funding as CIC is a nonprofit to go in and launch this program in partnership with all of these players in the space. So, you know, we all kind of collaboratively talked and helped co-design it before launching it. So I included our partner at the time, GFL, as the hauler, Altroot as the organics processor, and then both the town of Westlock staff and the Strathcona County staff. And Leftovers Foundation was also a big operational component, helping us like on the ground really launch it. The idea was that we want to help businesses be able to both like logistically and financially and like education and like support wise, be able to access a system for their food scraps and diverting them out of landfill, which in the case of this program was like the curbside carts for organics collection that go to the compost processor, as well as give them an option for food, surplus food diversion if they're not already donating to the local food bank. And so we wanted to come in and kind of, I guess, similar to door-to-door collection for like your household, kind of duplicate that model and go around to businesses in both of the towns and be like, you know, do you want to be part of this pilot project? We're going to help you get started on it. The cost is going to be likely a little bit lower than what you'd experience if you were to go out individually, because we have these lovely local partnerships, and kind of gather you all together on this more densified, more efficient route. And so a lot of the cost of organics collection is actually the transportation for the truck driver going to collect the curbside organics. And this is, you know, because of the fuel thrown in the truck and the driver's hours and itself. And so the more we can kind of make that route efficient and not so fragmented and piecemeal, like, you know, there's this restaurant over in this end and they're driving 20 minutes out to them and then they have to like turn around and double back and go 15 minutes the other way. It's much easier to, you know, try and create a densified route for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the roles that CIC came into play, was, you know, being this kind of convener of both the partnerships as well as the businesses locally, which we had some people on the ground helping with, but creating this route and integrating it into, in this case, GFL's existing institutional organics collection routes kind of really helps drop that cost a little bit for anyone new coming into the program and wanting to take part in organics diversion when it came to small and medium-sized businesses locally.
So in our first two episodes, we spoke with Dr. Kate Parizeau about the scale of this challenge of food waste and food loss across Canada. You know, we're talking about Alberta right now, but working with these different organizations that you're speaking about, I assume, you know, it's not making a huge giant dent, but it's making a dent within Strathcona County and within Westlock, and also creating that culture of change. And so how long was this pilot project? Is it still going on, or has it ended?
So the pilot project from CIC's operations, we ran it from June of 2024 to the end of December 2024. And then it was actually kind of nice because throughout the process, we intended on it, something happening with it afterwards. You know, we didn't just want to like cut off the service and it goes away, because that's what happens with a lot of pilot projects. So we were trying to build out partnerships with the local municipalities and organizations to see if there was someone locally who would be able to take it on and turn it into something longer term. So for Strathcona County, the municipality there actually was really invested in the project. I think from an enthusiasm standpoint, as well as, you know, enjoying that they were able to help their local ICI community and get some of that food out of landfill. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up at the end of the project taking over operations from us. And because they were working with us the whole time, they were very familiar with the program. They knew how to run it. And so they extended it for 6 months at first, so till June 2025. And, you know, anyone else who contacted them, they allowed it onto the program. And then they kind of brought the idea to council, presented the impacts from the project, and, you know, kind of just asked for a yes, no on being able to trial it for another year and see how it goes. So it is still currently in operation, which is really cool. It's turned into this longer term solution in the community that hopefully will eventually evolve into something larger.
That's great to hear. I'm glad that it's been extended for a little bit longer, and hopefully it becomes a permanent place within Strathcona County and Westlock. And you spoke about the impacts. Maybe we can chat about that a little bit. So what have the impacts been so far, both for the businesses involved, maybe economically, as well as the environment?
Yeah, so I'll start with economically. And this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, where, you know, if you were a small restaurant wanting to get a, you know, curbside organics bin, and you only have like one or two of them a week that get collected, and you don't have anyone else around you that is, you know, gunning for the same kind of thing voluntarily, then it can be quite expensive. And so it provided them like a financial in a little bit better than if they were to go try and procure that service privately. Mm-hmm. And so because that cost was dropped a little bit, it just makes it more feasible overall, especially for small and medium sized businesses to just get their foot in the door. We weren't tying them to like a huge, like long service contract or anything. So one of the good parts of these projects is it's very flexible for the participants that are on it, in that they can kind of opt in, opt out if they need to during the program. Mm-hmm. Without consequence to you know, what would usually happen with a longer service contract. And then for larger establishments, like, say, larger grocery stores or big food processors, manufacturers, and kind of just speaking broadly, since we have also done these pilots in other locations, sometimes the essentially, if that food was going anywhere in the first place, it was going in your garbage. And so by dropping the volume of food waste in there, especially dumpster size, you know, garbage containers, sometimes they are able to reduce their frequency of pickup, which, you know, saves them a bit of money. They might even be able to reduce the size of the container, which also saves them money. So there's that kind of like right sizing as they're mm-hmm. moving through the process option as well. So, you know, for some of the larger volumes getting reduced, that happens along the way too, which is cool. And then impact-wise environmentally, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, the importance of getting these organic materials out of landfill, not just because they're taking up landfill capacity and stressing the landfills, and then, you know, our capacity, you know, ends there, and then the municipality has to spend a bunch of money investing in new landfills. And so there's like that aspect as well that ties a little bit into the economic part. I'm sure Kate talked about this, but when food, it goes into landfill, it decomposes in kind of a natural environment compared to if it was in like a processor with like proper, you know, oxygen and digestion. And so it ends up, when it breaks down, it creates really potent methane gas, which is a greenhouse gas. And it has something like 86 times the warming potential within 25 years than CO2 does. So it's this shorter term greenhouse gas that doesn't stay in our atmosphere for as long, but its warming potential is just so potent that it's really imperative that we get it out of the landfills.
Can you quantify what the environmental impacts were and maybe make them approachable for the everyday Albertan or Canadian listening?
So, you know, we only had about 15 businesses on in the pilot project. So this is from 15 relatively small or medium sized businesses. So you can imagine the scale of this when those businesses in a year diverted about 80,000 or 90,000 kilograms of organic waste, either to organics processing or there's a little bit of food rescue in there as well. And for scale, this is about the weight of 15 elephants. So that's it's a lot of elephants. It's pretty weighty. And, you know, this was just a handful of businesses in, you know, a couple of smaller towns. So you can imagine people could imagine the scale of it, you know, taken up from that. And to kind of quantify that in greenhouse gas emissions, we usually use a CO2 equivalent. And for this project, you know, 80 to 90,000 kilograms of food scraps being diverted is about 3,000 tons of CO2 equivalent avoided, not going into our atmosphere. For a visual to anyone listening, one ton of CO2 is about, it looks like a hot air balloon. So just imagine 3,000 hot air balloons, and if you can, and that's how much, you know, didn't go into our atmosphere, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on an energy scale, the equivalent of 3,000 tons of those emissions is about the same amount that's used for the energy of about 700 homes for 1 year. So there it is. It has a decent scale. I know it has kind of like a small impact on the scale of how many businesses and food waste diversion potential there is out there. But even locally, it was creating a dent.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about, you know, this is 15 businesses, if we can have even double that, if we have create this as a part of the culture and a way that we do business, the possibility for impact is pretty large.
I know it is. So yeah, we're really excited for it to continue on in Strathcona County, West Lock area. We're excited to expand it out to Edmonton and kind of see what we can do there and hopefully create some more local impact.
Well, it's so amazing to hear that, you know, this pilot project within Strathcona County and West Lock went so well. It's being extended through the support of council and things like that, that the program is being extended to the city of Edmonton. And it's pilot projects like this that give me a lot of hope when it comes to tackling food waste, not just in Alberta, but across the country, because like we talked about in our conversation with Dr. Kate Parizeau in the first two episodes, it's a huge issue and we really need to work on solving it. And there's so many people across the province and across Canada who are working to do that, which, you know, we've heard about today in this episode and we'll continue to hear in the episodes following this one. So I'm so appreciative for you coming on the show and talking about this. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure and I'm, you know, happy to educate and share knowledge on what Circular Innovation Council is doing and, you know, what cool food waste diversion initiatives are happening locally.
Thanks so much to Maggie for joining us and showing us what's possible when small businesses, local governments, and the circular economy come together. If you're curious about how this program worked or want to learn more, check out the show notes for links and resources. And if you liked this episode, consider sharing it with a small business owner in your life. The What on Earth Can We Do podcast is a program of the Alberta Emerald Foundation, a registered charity focused on accelerating environmental excellence across Alberta. To learn more about the Alberta Emerald Foundation, head to our website, emeraldfoundation.ca, or follow us on social media at Alberta Emerald. A big thank you to our sponsors who make this podcast possible. The Government of Alberta, the Forest Resource Improvement Association of Alberta, Pathways Alliance, the City of Edmonton, the City of Calgary, and the TD Friends of the Environment Foundation. See you next time.